Good morning. My name is Katja Köhler-Kohl, and I'll be presenting today on the effects of clover undersown into winter wheat on the yields and soil nitrate concentrations in an organic soybean winter wheat corn rotation. Okay, so we know that for organic farmers, animal manures and legume green manures are the main sources of nitrogen. And it can be difficult for organic farmers, though, to access organic animal manures. So green manures can be an alternative source of nitrogen. In our rotation that we have in eastern Nebraska, where I'm at, it's a common rotation. It's soybean, winter wheat, and corn rotation. So in this rotation, we would plant a cover crop after the winter wheat most of the times, because that gives us a long time span for the cover crops to grow. And then the cover crop of choice is often soybeans. They produce high nitrogen. They're easy to manage their winter kill. And they're known to increase the corn yields in the following year. But because it can be hard to establish them in the dry summers that we have, we looked at undersowing legumes such as red and white clover. They would be undersown in the winter wheat in the spring to take advantage of the high soil moisture. And they've been shown to fix considerable amounts of nitrogen and increase subsequent corn yields, especially the red clover. The white clover is more commonly used in Europe. And it also has been shown to increase the yields of subsequent small grains. The problem where we are at is that sometimes green manures can take up so much soil moisture that they actually suppress the yields of the following crop. And some ways to manage for that, to manage between the, you know, the high biomass production on one side and the soil moisture on the other side, is to terminate cover crops early. So we did our research in the drier areas of the Great Plains to determine if green manures are a viable alternative to animal manures. Our objectives were to compare soil nitrate concentrations after those intercrops, and we compared them with more standard, more commonly used soil amendments in this rotation. And our hypothesis was that soil nitrate levels would be highest after manure and lowest after a control, and somewhere in between for the green manures. We also wanted to look at the yields. Of course, that's where the money comes from the yields. So we also compared those to the standard soil amendments, and we also looked at the effects of terminating the cover crops in the fall versus the spring. Okay, we are on certified organic land near Mead, Nebraska. I have a map of Nebraska, so that's right in the middle of the continent or of the United States, and we're on the eastern side, near close to Omaha. So we have an average annual temperature of 10 degrees Celsius and precipitation of 720 millimeters, but it's a very continental climate, cold winters and hot, dry summers. Our rotation is a soybean winter wheat corn rotation with a history of dairy manure after winter wheat. Just briefly about the plot management, we no-till drill the wheat into soybean stubble in October. No wheat control at all in the wheat. We do disc and field cultivate before corn and before the soybeans. And the measurements that we've taken, we sampled soil, we did above ground dry matter, so we sampled biomass, excuse me, and we took yields from all the cash crops in this rotation, and those are just combine harvested, not adjusted for moisture. Okay, I already gave away our main treatments were red clover, frost-seeded into the winter wheat in spring, white clover, frost-seeded into winter wheat in the spring. Then we also have a soybean cover crop after the wheat, and we have dairy manure supplied at a pretty high rate, 56 tons per hectare after wheat, and then our control was no soil amendment whatsoever. And then we split the plots only for the clovers. We had a split treatment, and that was termination time, either in the fall of the establishment year or in the spring of the following year. This is a picture of our site. So this is our whole organically certified site, and it's pretty big, 40 acres, about 18 hectares. And so the field on the bottom, that would be where we started the experiment in 2011. So I have the data from the wheat clover intercrop, the corn and the soybean, so one whole rotation. And then I also will present on the data from 2012, wheat, clover, and corn. 2013, I don't have the corn yields yet. They're still out in the field, so I'm not going to include that today. We changed our experimental design a little bit. It started out with completely randomized design, and then we switched to randomized incomplete blocks. Just briefly about the precipitation, this gives you an idea of the variance we have to deal with in Nebraska. 2012, we had a drought year, okay, so hardly any precipitation during the summer months. 2011, we had a flood year, lots of precipitation, and 2013 was more normal. So in 2011, we were able to establish a good clover stands. We had really high dry matter production for all the green manures, and I calculated the nitrogen that was contained in the above-ground dry matter. I used values from my colleague, Jian Ruxi. She did her master's thesis on this. So I used her her numbers. They are given down below. I used them for both years. And as you can see, there was quite a bit of nitrogen contained in the leaves, or in the above-ground dry matter, more than 100 kilograms, except for the white clover in the fall. In 2012, it was a drought year. The clover started to grow, but no precipitation during the summer, and they died. The soybeans, which were actually planted in the summer, we were still able to establish a good stand, so we still got about 100 kilograms of nitrogen in the dry matter there. Okay. The first year, this is the data from the first year, so we had high dry matter production, but were we really able to see any differences in the soil nitrate concentration? And not really. As expected, in May 2012, right at corn planting, the manure had the highest level. That's not surprising, highest level of soil nitrate. But the green manures really weren't different. The soybeans were higher than the controls, but the clovers, there was no difference. And at soybean planting the following year, the manure was still significantly higher than the control this time, but the numerical differences are pretty small. So kind of the same story in 2013. So again, 2012, we weren't able to establish a clover stand. We only had soybeans growing, but we still don't really have any differences in the green manures, and animal manures still had the highest soil nitrate concentrations after that year of treatments. One thing I want to mention is that the soil nitrate levels in 2012-2013 were much higher than than the year before. So these low soil nitrate concentrations were pretty evident early on in the corn. In 2012, you can see the differences in the height of the corn. So the low corn, that would be after the clovers. And down below that picture, you can see how yellowish the corn looks after the red clover as compared to the corn after manure. And here are the yields. Not surprisingly, the manure had the highest, or had very high yields, but what was kind of a shocker was that the control treatments were actually out-yielding in both years, and that was interesting. In 2012, the red clover yields were the lowest. There was a significant effect of termination time, and the red clover terminated in the fall. The corn yields were still low, but they were about twice as high as for the red clover that was terminated in the spring. So in the spring, the red clover yielded less than 2 tons per hectare, so very low. In 2013, again, manure and the control treatment were the highest. And as I said before, we didn't have a real good, we didn't have any clover really to speak of, but there really aren't any differences between the green manures, except that the white clover is significantly lower. Well, there weren't any differences between the green manures, sorry. Soybean yields, just briefly, so that would be 2 years after the red clover, and there is a significant effect still for the manure. But it's not the huge contrast that we've seen with the corn. And okay, so how do we make sense of this? We know we had high dry matter production in 2011, but it didn't really show up in our soil, at least not that we caught it, maybe. So the soil nitrate levels after the clover are higher in 2012 than they were in 2013, probably indicating a little bit of an effect because we had a lot of clover, but they are not different from the control. And that's what's really surprising. It's possible that there was some sort of end tie-up. The red clover that was terminated in the fall had a much higher CN ratio than the one that was terminated in the spring, and also much higher than soybean. And because of the drought, it might have slowed decomposition. But we think that the high corn yields after manure and the control are also largely due to soil moisture. We think that the clover that was growing there for either half a year or more than a whole year, 13 months, just used up too much of that soil moisture. And that might have not made a big difference in a year with non-limiting precipitation, such as in 2013. But in 2012, where there was a drought, it really made the difference. And to conclude, red and white clover did produce significant amounts of biomass with adequate rainfall, but they did not increase soil nitrate levels in our rotation. In fact, they decreased subsequent corn yields and even slightly decreased the soybean yields 2 years later. So for our sites, for this rotation, we would conclude that animal manures are still the best way to maintain high yields in this rotation. Thank you.
So soil nitrate can be a pretty ephemeral pool and change day to day, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it may not be that surprising, I don't know, that mm-hmm. red clover, white clover is not different from the control.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use any other methods to measure soil in, like Pommen or potentially mineralized borane?
No, I don't. So our soil tests we measured. So I only showed the soil nitrate levels in 0 to 20 centimeters. We also measured 20 to 60 centimeters, and then we didn't have POM, we just had organic matter, but I didn't find any differences. So, yeah. Yeah. Oh, but probably to come back, I showed only the soil nitrate levels at the beginning of the planting of the next crop, but we did take them 3 or 4 times throughout the season. And we, never was there a spike or anything like that after the green manure, so, yeah.
Just to reiterate, we also see this problem, exact same problem in Utah, where we have very dry summers. Yeah. And our manure applications appear to be lasting 20-plus years
yeah.
from a single application. Mm-hmm. And so what we're looking at now to see, because the growers are very willing to apply manure on a regular basis, but we found nitrates to be quite predictive of yields
okay.
in a
yeah.
dry land system when we have no
mm-hmm.
rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much again.
Okay.